It's me, Mario.
This week in your parents' basement, we say goodbye to our dear friend that started it all. From 1995, we're playing Super Mario 64 by Nintendo for the Nintendo 64. I'm Steve Greenwald. With me is the man, Mr. Mario himself. It is Huell Hauser.
Mario, you again. Well, that's just fine. I've been looking for something to fry with my fire breath.
And our other co-host, he's bummed because he was all set to host the show next week with copious amounts of notes on a little game called Sonic the Hedgehog. It is Todd Brisket.
I lock up anyone who challenges the greatness of my mustache. I am the mustache master.
Oh, very nice. Our email address is parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and please follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, subscribe to us on Spotify or iTunes and give us some stars. Also, join our Discord channel by going to ypbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys and girls. And hey, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at ypbpodcast.com. This week's game is Super Mario 64. Released in 1996, not even 95, this game was immediately recognized as a masterpiece and a huge hit for the Nintendo 64, for which it was one of two launch games. This is Mario in 3D, and to quote some popular media from the time, it's real and it's fantastic. So, Huell, when did you first play this game?
When did you first hear about
when
Mario?
When did I first hear of Mario? Well, I had heard of Mario before this, of course. Mm-hmm. But I got an N64 that Christmas. However, no copies of Mario 64 were available.
What? So that is only game.
The only game I had was Mortal Kombat Trilogy.
What?
That's the first game I had. For the N64.
Great. Great in and of itself. Fine. But
it's also a 16-bit side-scrolling fighting game. Mm-hmm. So I was harnessing the full power of this new 64-bit system. But eventually, in the next year, I got my paws upon Mario 64, and boy, was my mind blown. I mean, this is the first fully 3D like home console. I like to say PlayStation kind of...
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
I mean, but it sucked, right? PlayStation 1 sucked.
This is the N64. Are we putting on PlayStation on blast in this episode?
At least the first one, I'm putting it on blast. It's all janky, it's all craggly, but the graphics on the N64 were mind-blowing at the time. And what better way to demonstrate them than with Mr. Mario himself?
The mustachioed...
The golden mustache, as they call him. Mr. Mario. And so just right from the start.
Called.
Yeah, you boot it up and you're in that courtyard. You're not even in the castle yet, and you're like this.
Well, you zoom out of that pipe. You pop out of that pipe.
All right. I'm not talking about cutscenes. But I mean as soon as you get control of them, you're outside, you're able to run around, you're jumping, you're long jumping, you're doing backflips, you're punching stuff. I mean they had to
C-pad to control that camera. That is mind-blowing at the time.
So, yeah, you're like, I need to actually point myself where I need to go with the camera and stuff. So it's like, but I mean, it's fully 3D. You got the whole joystick on the controller. I mean, we've played a few N64 games for this show, but I mean, this is the iconic flagship game for this system. Mm-hmm. And I mean, right off the bat, you're blown away.
Well, I would not dispute the iconic flagship game aspect of this one. It for sure. It blew. It definitely blew my mind. So when here's my story, how I attained it.
I'm tamed.
How I untamed So in the fall, I believe it was the fall of 1996.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, around September time frame, I was this was high on my list of things to get. For some reason, I think it came with Nintendo Power or something. I got a promo video cassette VHS of upcoming Nintendo releases.
They did have that.
On this thing, it had in-game footage of Mario 64. And also another game or two I can't recall, but Mario 64 was the one I remember. And because I was a good boy, I was a little good boy that year, my parents pitched in and helped buy a Nintendo 64. And however, Mario 64, the game, was sold out everywhere. It was released separately from the system.
Yeah, it was not a pack-in. It was like the first.
It was not a pack-in, which was
the problem.
That was a problem. It was not a pack-in, and so I had the system.
You mocked me.
No games to play. No games for me. I did not even have Mortal Kombat.
MK Trilogy.
Did not even have the MK, the Try. MK Trey. Did not have that one. I had no game. I was so desperate for this hot content that I plugged in the system gameless. And watched the video and pretended I was playing with the controller in my hand.
You're like, this is what it would feel like. This is what it would feel like with the controller in my hand.
Right. It was. I mean, it was a short 2 or 3 weeks later where we finally got it. And you know, I woke up early every single morning before school to play it.
Nice.
Tried to sneak in hours at night when everybody's asleep. I put my time in for sure. Put my time into this one.
Hella. Steve, what is your? When did you first hear of Mario 64?
I cannot top that, but
no.
I think as we mentioned in the show, like I was a subscriber to Nintendo Power for a lot of years.
First, I'm hearing about this.
I believe I got the same video that Todd did. So that's when I first saw Mario 64. But I was aware of it from at that time. There was also Game Pro and
yes.
Ultra Game Players too, I think.
Game Professionals.
Yes. So I knew of it. It was in the zeitgeist, as kids say.
Yeah, most of them.
Yeah. And then I can't even remember when I got the N64. I feel like it was probably Christmas 96, I wanna say.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Or yes, 96, not 95, or 99.
Definitely not 95.
No.
Except when you're that your uncle worked at Nintendo and he got you the prototype.
No, my uncle had been laid off from Nintendo by that point.
Shame.
So we didn't get all the secret games.
Damn, that sucks.
Yeah, but you know, as you guys were talking, I was trying to think, what was my second Nintendo 64 game? Because I cannot remember. All I remember is getting Mario 64, and it was probably like Kart.
That's a great question. I need to look up release dates.
Sense.
Kart makes sense, but I feel like it came a little bit later.
Well, mine was Mario 64.
I feel like Star Fox was one of the earlier releases.
Oh, yeah, Star Fox was very early. I did not own Star Fox. This was the classic. I had like four friends that had an N64, and we each had different games and would like trade them around. We all kind of like coordinated what games we were getting.
Oh yeah, that's fun.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, you only get like two or three a year unless you're some sort of backsack.
Wave Race. That was an early.
That's definitely
Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey was a first year.
Wave Race is probably number three for me.
Wayne Gretzky was there for me.
Was Kart post Wave Race?
Let me.
Kart is December 96.
Okay.
That would have been a first year.
Same year?
Wave Race is September 96.
It feels like Kart came a little bit later, but those are, I mean, what a solid first year lineup of games. Man. That is.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's that Nintendo seal of quality. They're not
seal
just,
of, seal
they
of
weren't
quality.
Just spamming games out there. And the other issue that is the real problem is those damn carts. Like they were so expensive to make at the time because they were so packed with megabytes that like they weren't that easy to manufacture.
Yes.
So there was no, like, what do they call it?
I mean, it was 64 bits, man.
They don't call it, like shovelware. There's no real shovelware for this.
Shovelware, yeah.
No, not.
They have to analyze and stamp that seal of quality right. on there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, especially
like Mahjong Master, which came out in 1996.
Of course.
And Saikyo Habu Shogi, which came out in 96.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we the,
which is a guy holding chopsticks on the cover, it looks like.
Yeah, those were games just in Japan, though. Nintendo's always had like a bunch of weird games like that launched with their systems in Japan that we never see.
But I just mean developers weren't as eager to hop on.
No, no. Not when, you know, you need people to buy it for $60, essentially, which means you have to make a good game. Yeah, I have a list of the best-selling N64 games, and please. 96 is a murderer's row, considering it released in June. Mario 64, Pilot Wing 64, Wave Race 64, Star Wars Shadows of the Empire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Which,
that was in 96? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that December.
Previously covered.
Yep. Cruisin' USA, which was a...
I did have Cruisin'.
Yeah, perfectly fine Racing Man game and Kart. So,
wow.
That is a solid lineup for a release.
For some reason, I thought Kart was like the next year, but wow. That's interesting.
No.
It was December, late.
Yeah, that's probably 96. Why. Yeah.
Here's the problem, though. 97, it's six games for the whole year that made this.
What?
It's a top 50 of the best selling.
Oh, these are just the top 50. I thought you meant like six were released.
No, but this. You know, it kind of tells you that the depth of the system is not that great. Like,
no, not really.
97, you had Turok, Star Fox 64, GoldenEye, Diddy Kong Racing, WCW versus NWO World Tour.
Hell yes.
And Yoshi's Story. But
what's missing from that
so
list?
So those are the top seller, or that's among the top 50 sellers.
Among the top 50, those are from 90s. What's missing from that list in 97, which was my choice of 97, Black Ore.
Oh, yeah.
That was a low seller, but that was a highly played game in my house.
Also previously covered.
Yeah. But
We covered a lot of those. Shocking.
Listen, we've covered a lot of games.
We're 255 here.
Yeah. But no, that was the problem, is the fact that, you know, the N64 was not getting a lot of releases, not a lot of depth. Like, RPGs, I think we've mentioned there's like three or two, if you count. Depends on whether you count Hexen as an RPG or not.
Not like, really.
Nope.
No.
That is a shooter.
So yeah, it's like Ogre Battle and Quest 64.
Yes. Oh, with your boy Brian.
Very questy. My boy.
Your boy Brian.
Also covered on this show. Go look up that episode.
Oh, yeah. I think that was number 64.
It was episode 64, yes.
In honor of the Crate System, we covered one of its best games. But we should focus more on Mario 64, because this was a groundbreaking occurrence, as we've said.
Yes.
So you got Mario. You got Peach. Bowser's kidnaps Peach.
Again,
a brand new storyline to the 64. But it's really the moves that really are make it fun, I think. Because like before, all you could do was jump. You could jump on something, or you could jump under something and bash it. I mean, that's
you get fireball or two or something like that.
Yeah, you get fire. Yeah, I guess you're right. You get fireball,
cape, and
you get
an Yoshi, whatever.
You get some suits. You get some capes. But with this, you got
some tanukis.
You got a double jump. You got a triple jump. You got the backflip. You can squirt. Squirt and do a backflip.
Do a wall jump.
Yeah, wall jump. Yeah, you can jump off the wall and kick. And he can punch. He's punching things.
He's a puncher.
Mario got...
He's violent.
Angry. He's like, gosh darn it, this Bowser is making me angry, and now I'm going to punch stuff.
Lot of new moves in the 3D spectrum.
The butt stomp. We all remember the butt stomp.
The butt stomp, yeah. Which was introduced in Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island.
Sure. But using that Z button to stomp stuff. So yeah, it's like you get, along with the freedom of movement, there's just like so many different combos and moves and stuff.
And those are just out of the box moves. Those are Mario plain and simple. Vanilla Mario has those moves. But then you also have the power-ups. Metal Mario.
Yeah.
winged hat
these
Mario.
These are the caps.
You can caps. Get
new hats.
The Metal Mario aids you in fighting enemies. I think it makes you stronger fighting enemies. It also weighs you down, so you sink to the bottom of the ocean in water levels.
You take half damage. Fire and poison you're immune to, and you don't run out of air underwater.
Right, and you can walk along on the bottom, which helps.
Along with being able to, you sink to the bottom.
Helps you get some of those stars, which we haven't even brought up yet. But
so these are basically like puzzle solvers. These little
The goal of the game is to get stars to unlock, like you unlock deeper levels of the castle, and eventually you can save the princess. Although, really, Huel, you mentioned all the cool things Mario can do in this game. Like that was mainly my goal as a kid. Like I was like, it's fun to just run around and get stuff. Like
it is a satisfying feeling when you pull off a triple jump. It is just a satisfying feeling.
Yes,
or a wall jump, the wall kick. I remember just that being so difficult until you really get the hang of it. Because, I mean, there's some puzzles you have to solve with that. You have to, like, triple wall jump, like, back and forth to get up to places. Like, this is all new. This is all new for Mario, but it fits. Like, it doesn't feel unauthentic. It doesn't feel slapped on. Like, this is Mario.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, all the old enemies are there. You got the Goombas. You got the
Koopas.
Koopas. You got Bob-ombs.
You got the Lakitas.
Bob-ombs. You got the Womps.
The Bobby-ombs.
The Womps, the Thwomps, the Boos. You got Boos.
Oh, the Boos.
The Big Boos.
Boos.
King Boo.
Yeah.
Normal Boo.
You get some new things like those goddamn penguins, too. You
got penguins.
Oh, pangies.
Chirping. Yeah. They're not really enemies. They're just annoying.
Yeah.
With the baby.
So that helps. Penguin. I mean, here's the thing.
Race me.
Those pingies, those pingies help this world that you're in feel lived in.
Right.
It has
I mean, that's the thing. That's what the design comes down to. Is we're talking about the castle a lot, but there's 15 different stages that you can go to from the castle. This is open world Mario. I mean, this is the first time.
Kind of. I'd say it's more of a hub Mario.
It's hub Mario worlds a little bit, but yeah, it's hub open world hub Mario. So you're in the castle. You can go into paintings, jump into those paintings. And you're in a new world. And in these worlds, you collect stars to open up more worlds and eventually get to Bowser. Mm-hmm. Which you've already said, but I just said again.
It is more than a hub, though, because the castle itself has secrets that are fun. You can catch that rabbit down the basement.
Catch that rabbit. No, that's the difference. Like so comparing to Super Mario World and Yoshi's Island, where your hub is basically just a map where you're walking around going point to point on a map. This is a lived in hub where you are walking around, jumping into paintings, and there's secrets in the hub itself, which is the Princess Peach Castle.
Right. All right. There are secrets, including stars.
So as a kid, I did collect all 120, which to me now is like mind blowing. Because I'm like, oh man,
A few that are pretty tough.
Yes.
Yeah, there's some really hard worlds. Like the 3D element really ramps up some difficulties.
Yes. And that. It's an impressive technical achievement. This game, although the camera is a little rough. In some spot.
What are you going to do?
Nah. So here's the thing, and I had this note, is that this is the best improvement on camera. This makes 3D games viable, the camera in this game, because when you look at compared to the games we've covered previously on the show, such as Croc, Legend of the Gobos on the PlayStation, the camera in this game is, how would you say, like revolutionary or... invigorating? What do you say? Revitalizing?
I think you say invigorating. Yeah.
Invigorating.
Like engorging.
Engorging. Because not only do you have free reign...
I'm not sure what you're trying to say, but I think I get it.
What I'm saying is, like, the camera is not not so much a hindrance as it is in other proto-3D games. Mm-hmm. Let me take an example. Is on the first stage... Bob-omb World, whatever that's called. Do you remember what that's called?
Bob-omb Battlefield.
Bob-omb Battlefield. There's that one part of the map where you are going around the mountain, and there's big giant boulders rolling down the hill, and you have to dodge those boulders. And the camera will automatically, not only do you have free reign over the control of the camera, but the camera will automatically adjust itself around the corner so you can see the next boulder coming down the corner. So it helps you. The camera helps you in this game. Now, unlike Croc Legend of the Gobos, where the camera is just pointing up Croc's croctile cloaca the entire game.
Yes.
It's cloaca. Todd, did you know that according to Argonaut founder Jez Sam, Super Mario 64 was influenced by a prototype of a canceled Argonaut game featuring the Mario character Yoshi, which later became the 1997 platform game Croc, Legend of the Gobos.
Mm. Makes sense. So Argonaut of Star Fox fame, by the way, right?
Yes.
They were on tap to make a Yoshi platformer in 3D world, and it did not pan out. And they just switched over to say, hey, let's sell this to PlayStation and make Croc Legend of the Gobos.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But they say that influenced Mario 64, which I don't know. I'm not sure if I believe that. Like, I feel like those, I don't know. Like, I feel like Nintendo probably already had the idea of, hey, for the N64, 3D Mario. Like,
yeah, do you not, here's the thing.
We got a 3D system. We got a Mario.
Would Nintendo not be farming out multiple shops? Like, hey, just try to make a 3D game. That's my thing. Multiple shops are out there trying to make this 3D game, and then they said, "Oh, we got the best tech. Let's do it in house." By the way, looked it up. Crocs do have penis and vagina. So there you go.
Oh, good to know. I'm glad we're still helping the people.
Yeah, they got hogs.
Still helping the people.
Yeah.
Good.
But yeah, no, I got all the stars as a kid. One aspect I really liked of the level design is that it's split into, I think there's six like quests for each world that you go into. Like it's like, oh, get to the top of the mountain, there will be a star for you.
Yeah, there's six like objectives that get you a star. Mm-hmm. That you choose when you hop into the thing.
Yeah, yeah. Normally the first or second one is kind of like, oh, the traditional, it's the end of the level kind of thing. But like when you, as you're making that journey, you'll see other things like, oh, look, there's a little, like, in the snow world, there's like a little slide that you can go down. And later you have to race one of the penguins to get that star. Like, it's just little stuff like that. And for each world, I believe they have two additional stars, which is if you get the five red coins.
Eight red coins. Before we get any angry emails, yes.
Oh, it's eight? Yes. Damn it. And also 100 gold coins, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Actually, I think the eight red coins is always one of the six things.
Yeah, but you don't have to do it in the in that specific star quest, I don't think.
No, but it is one of the six. It's not like a bonus. The only bonus, I think, is the 100 coins.
Yes. But still, like, it's just full of little stuff like that.
Mm. Spoiler alert. These games and this map, these maps have high replayability. I mean, there's only how many stages were there?
15
stages. If you're playing through this game, there's only 15 stages, but in a just a so regular playthrough, you'd play through each one three times and
six times,
and it feels original each time you play it.
Yeah, each level is so deep, even though they're not. Some of them are small, some of them are bigger, but I mean, there's just so much content in each one. Like, it's crazy, just like how, and each one's so different than the other. Like, they're all differently themed. I mean, some are, like, there's two snow ones, but the level layout's completely different. Like, it's crazy.
It's not just, like, palette-swapped levels like you would see, like, in an old NES game or something like that.
I mean, that harkens back to the previous games. I mean, But then you'd have world like 2-1 and 2-2, and they'd all be like ocean levels. But this is 15 like pretty unique levels. And that's not counting the Bowser levels or... True.
And they all have, I mean, even though they are, I would say, kind of a reskin, because you're going to the same place. Like, if you're going to Snowland, you're going back to Snowland. But there's a little trick you have to figure out to get each star. So it's kind of original in each way.
And sometimes you can only get that star if you choose it. Like, there's, like, certain, like, enemies or bosses will appear only if you pick their star or something. So you can't always get, like, any of them at any time.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, it's great.
it's good. It's a great game.
It's a good game. People like it.
So I think it was, like, two shows ago where we were talking about Beyond Oasis, and it's like, oh, it's weird. Yeah. People don't do more Zelda clones. And then we thought about it, and we were like, oh, wait, no, that game, Zelda is just jam-packed full of stuff. Like, it's hard to clone it. Like, you have to make an excellent game. And I feel exactly. like...
That's weird. To make a good game, you have to make a good
game. Why don't people just make excellent games all the time?
I know.
What's wrong with them?
Yeah. It's not one of those ideas that's simple to clone. And this is just another example of, like, Nintendo's master design work, where, like, I can't even tell you, like, a game that is like Mario 64, like, on the same platform.
That isn't rare, because Donkey Kong 64 is the only one I can think of.
Yeah, exactly. Which by the way, like, that and your Banjo-Kazooies, like, they came out years later. Like, it's not like they came out, like, 2 or 3 months. It's like this game just set the standard for years, I feel like. To, like,
yeah, and this set the winning standard formula for modern 3D platformers. Even to this day, I would say, if you are not following the same formula, it is not going to be a good 3D platformer. It's weird to say that. 1996, this is the year the platformer, 3D platformer, was defined.
Yeah, like
in stone.
I'm looking quick. Spyro came out like 2 years after this game.
Even Spyro, it's an inferior game to this one. I would much rather play Mario than Spyro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and obviously Crash Bandies, I believe, came out later, and that's not even close.
It's incomparable. It's not even the same kind of game.
Yeah. So, well.
Just, well, they have the modern, so just not, sorry to step on your toes here, Steve, but like modern 3D platformer games, I'm thinking of games like, what is that? God of War. What is
modern?
Shoot, what is okay?
Uh-oh.
Oh boy.
What Super Mario Galaxy.
Fallout. No. Fallout it is 4. The Zelda clone. We play
Horizon
as
Zero Dawn.
No, that's not even a platformer.
Not a platformer.
Okay, skip me. Forget this. All right. I'm gonna have to look it up.
Pass. Look pass.
It up. Spin the wheel.
Oh boy.
But
Steve,
did we ever really get your story? So you eventually got it and played it and liked it? That's kind of the gist.
Pretty much. Well, I'm pretty sure I got the N64 for Christmas.
Right. Shocking.
Yeah. Well, I'd been saving up some money for it. I got like $10 when I would mow the lawn. But, you know, the system I think was like $250. Oh, I'm still a long, long ways away from it.
Please, FFK.
Okay, before
what are you
before
trying to tell?
Before we get too far away, and I don't want to prove that I'm some kind of idiot. Darksiders series of video games, which are three D platformers that kind of meld Zelda and Mario together. Even though you're some Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, it is a modern take on like a Zelda / Mario 64 type game. That's what I was thinking of. Sorry, guys. Sorry for the diversion on this one. Okami is another one. Okami is a great one. Yeah.
Kami's.
I didn't realize what you were saying at first, so I thought you meant Kami. Like
he saw one.
Yeah. Play it. Yeah. Well, I mean, we did have a game a couple weeks ago where you could play as a Kami in Japan, which was, Commando. I think that was it. So, anyways, just to touch on where is it now, the Mayor EO series continues to this day.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, yeah.
Oh, never heard of it.
Yeah, I never... Did they make one after... They made another Mario after this?
Guys, you know what? They may have, and I didn't play it, so...
It came out after year 2000, so I don't know.
Well, you have no way of knowing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if that's where it is now, then good for Nintendo, you know?
I am not even joking, by the way. The last... the only game after this in the series I've played is the one for the DS. I think New Super Mario Brothers, is that the one?
I mean,
that is
like a few
that
of those.
That is it for the DS, yes.
Yeah. So, which one is next? Is
they also made it for the Wii. Mm.
Is it Galaxy, Sunshine?
Sunshine's okay. Sunshine? The GameCube. And then Galaxy is the Wii.
Mm.
As far as like main Mario titles.
Yeah. Well, see, after this, like Nintendo lost my faith as a consumer because I was a big RPG fan, and the N64 it didn't have any. Like I could buy a PlayStation, and then PlayStation like just had tons of that genre. So PlayStation got all my money from that point on. So I'm still a PlayStation boy to this day.
Well,
that's a shame. You're missing out on that device called the Switch, which is great.
I know. I mean, it's got a bunch of crap indie shovelware, but it does look it does look like stuff I want to play.
Complete trash.
Yeah. I mean, I want to play it all.
The seal of approval is cracked and crumbled.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's move along to a little segment called Most Best Game of All Time. Todd, were you able to find any for this one?
You know, it was tough. I did. I searched high and wide, low and high, breadth and depth across this interweb we called home. And I was able to find three reasons why Super Mario 64 is the most best game of all time. Right. This review is titled My Childhood Mario Game in October of 2017 by Jimmy Pappas.
Jimmy
Pappas. Okay. Right. And Jimmy wrote, "This is my childhood Mario game. I get lots of laughs when watching someone plays the haunted house. What I don't like in this game is the rabbit. They should give me a rifle or shotgun. 5 stars.
Wow.
I mean, that rabbit is tough, but yikes.
Oof.
Tough rabbit.
Super Mario Second Amendment.
Sounds like he wants a Duck Hunt 64 on that system.
The Mushroom Kingdom's Second Amendment.
All right, this next one is, let me see here. It's titled First the Worst, That's Just Wrong. Written by Oclonia in October of 2001. Oclonia. 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 I don't know who that is, right? And Oclonia writes, Oclonia writes, "Greetings, I am Oclonia. My review of Super Mario 64 is right here. Super Mario 64 is a game that all master N64 gamers have to own. I don't even need to tell the story. What happened? The same traditional story. Bowser kidnaps Princess Toadstool. Mario finds a princess, rescues her, and destroys Bowser. Capsize."
Spoiler alert. Jeez.
Capsize. That's what it says. Capsize.
Capsize?
Capriche?
I think they were going for Capiche.
Yeah.
But it says Capsize.
Capsize. Of course.
"The courses and stars' names are quite creative, e.g. Lil Penguin Lost. They are more riddles, though. The graphics are so sharp-looking and realistic that maybe just a few could go on GameCube. Despite a few annoying sounds and no multiplayer mode, Super Mario 64 is really super. This has been Oclonia. 5 stars.
Oh. Wow. I'm glad we got Oclonia's official take. Mm-hmm.
Signed from Oclonia.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right, the next one, the final most best is from somebody named Stephanie Parker. And her review, Stephanie's review is titled Very, Very Good. In February of 2003, Stephanie wrote, "This game is very fun. I rented this game from Blockbuster on Sunday. Now I want to buy it. Nice. Even if I can't buy it at Toys R Us, I can still buy it. Because I, and maybe you know where it is too, this place is called Slacker CDs and Games. It is at Cottonwood Mall, Edwardsville. When I played the game, I found a Bowser level. I didn't like this level. 5 stars!
Wow, did not like Bowser.
Mm. I mean, he is a bad guy. He's a baddie. So, you know, you're not supposed to like him.
Yeah, I mean, that's just props for to her. Him? Mm-hmm. What are the, what's her name?
Stephanie Parker, which I assume is Stephanie a female, Parker. But who knows, in this day and age, whatever.
Could be Italian. Much like Mario.
Wow. Well, speaking of, well, I was going to say speaking of Italian, but no, this is a Mexican restaurant. I have a 1-star review for Mario's.
A Mexican restaurant?
Yes, a Mexican restaurant named Mario's. It's a perfectly normal name.
Perfectly cromulent.
Yes. Don writes, whoever owns this restaurant should immediately sell to someone who cares about the hospitality restaurant business, customer service, and quality Mexican food. This place has been a fixture in our families for 2 generations. We went every Friday. The service is terrible except for the bar, so we started ordering for pickup. The reason that I kept coming here was the wet chile Colorado burrito.
What?
Tonight,
a wet burrito.
Wet chile, Colorado burrito. Tonight, they effed up my order yet again. The nice person taking to-go orders had no concept of the menu. Instead of getting a wet chile, Colorado burrito, they once again gave me a pork burrito with red stuff. It was so bad that I just stopped eating it and threw it away. I'm over it and will try some of the 30 other restaurants in Huntington Beach. I am just so sad that the owners stopped caring about the food and customer. I used to look forward to eating there. 1 star.
Wow. So I guess they've gone downhill?
Oh, apparently.
Because, I mean, they said they'd gone there every Friday. And if they hated it every time, then I feel like that's on them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do have... Let me try sharing this picture with you guys of the fine food at the establishment.
Is this the wet chile burrito burger or whatever?
the wet Colorado.
Wet wow. Colorado.
Very appetizing.
Yeah, this guy apparently just got served raw red ground beef. So
good.
That's...
Well, it means that, I mean, you don't want it... You want a little pinkness in your ground beef just because it means you got a little juice flowing.
go like 3 over, and there's just the worst chips and salsa I've probably ever seen. Number 20.
It's like watered down ketchup.
Yeah, it's like a bowl of
three chips
flopped over the side, and like the plainest looking chips. Like, this is a great restaurant.
Well, listen, you know, California isn't really known for Mexican food, guys.
No, yeah. It's hard to get authentic affair there.
You need to go closer to the border, right?
Yes.
Mm. Yes.
Tejas, as they call it.
Yeah, they probably barely have any Taco Bells there.
Mm. Yeah. So, what a shame.
Yeah, how would they even know?
Well, they do have Of the Taco instead.
De la Taco, yeah.
Oh, Del's Taco?
Yeah.
Del's Taco, yeah.
Yeah.
Or as they say in Spanish, de la taco.
Of the taco.
I've heard of that place.
They have good food.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I just noticed the tomato soup salsa.
Ooh, it's bad. It's insane.
Oh my god, it literally looks like liquid.
it's just a bowl of liquid.
Yeah. Oh boy. Well, don't go to Mario's to eat. Yes. Peach though apparently will bake you a cake, so that's good.
Mm.
All right, well, Huel, I know that you were able to get your hands on a manual for this one.
So for a very rare occurrence for this show, I literally have my hands upon the Mario 64 manual, the game manual for this game.
What's it feel like?
Feels like paper. Two staples.
That's authentic.
Yes. Yeah, so I still have my cart. I still have my manual. So it's these. What am I saying? This is.
Whoa, boy.
This yep. is a.
These manual.
These manual. Is it's got a little bit of the story. A little bit of the story up front. I was trying to say it's a Nintendo Mario manual. So, I mean, what more do you have to say? So in this case, it doesn't have drawings as much as it has those classic 3D renderings of the characters, but there are a lot of them. Saw some feedback there. So yeah, a lot of the different pages on the moves. Something we didn't even get into. As soon as you start the game up, you have that head of Mario that you can pull and yeah. morph and all that stuff.
That was one of my final notes. That. I didn't
before
we didn't
touch
you
on.
Even
you can... start the game.
Yeah.
You have that Mario face you can just like stretch around, and so it's got like the controls for that. I mean, that was a fun time. So yeah, all the different moves. It's got like all the objects you can interact with. It's got what all the different caps do, the layout of the castle, the items, which aren't really that many. There's like a one up thing and a cannon. You could hop into the cannon, that's fun. A little bit on the camera, because that's new. And then some tips and tricks. So it's all very colorful. There's all so many different animations / drawings. I mean, what else can I do but give this 5 out of 5 Mario 2s?
Really?
Oh, wow.
Because that, I mean, to reach to Mario 2 levels,
right.
means you have to have some nice drawings in there.
I mean, it doesn't quite have the story level that the Mario 2 does, but I mean, like, what... It's a, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna dock this a Mario 2? It's effing Mario.
Yeah, it's it. So, yeah. It's in the Mario family.
Yeah, it's a manual from Mario.
You were mentioning that title screen.
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh man, and I'm sure you guys figured this out too. If you just left it alone for a minute or two, Mario would fall asleep.
That's true. Both the face and the actual Mario in the game.
Oh, yeah, he does that in game, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And it's like, it's fun. Mario.
It's a lot of fun.
Mario, noted sleeper. Sleeping in a lot of games. So.
Yeah, I'm going to go out there and say it. It's fun. What's going on? Oh, that's that title screen.
There's a title screen music, and I was just watching a little video here.
Steel drum.
They got some stars flying around, and Mario watching with both of his eyes going cross, watching both the stars. It's
it goes crazy. A lot of characters.
They had some fun. They had some fun with this title screen. That's I don't know if somebody had some spare
Mario.
Time at Nintendo HQ to program this in, but
hello.
This really kind of blew my mind as a kid as well. Not only was were you platforming around in 3D worlds, but there's a little hidden kind of, it's not a mini game, but just a little fun thing to do.
A little bit of mini game.
Stretching his hat around, making his hat pulling
showing
his hat
off,
down, pulling,
yeah, showing off those 3D graphics,
pulling his mustache around,
that's
showing
great.
Off the 3D. I mean, it's not only showing off the 3D, it's showing off the polygon effects you can do, which is even more spectacular because. You know, in standard 3D video game world of the time, it's just you have pre-written scripts that these polygons run through where it's not
right.
really dynamic. But this is
objects.
Stretching out those polygons.
Mm-hmm. 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 No, it's a... hey, it's a seller game. Speaking of, the Herzog hierarchy rating system.
Herzog.
Yes. This one, no surprise, coming in at Herzog Zen. Herzog 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Still very replayable. In fact, an expanded edition of it came out, I think, for the 3DS, I want to say. And that added another 30 stars. And
I have that one.
New incredible. Stage, new boss. That's where my opening quote was from one of those new bosses.
Mm. Yeah, it's good. It's a very good remake.
Yeah. And I mean, almost every aspect of this holds up. You know, if you're a Mario fan, you should play it. Yeah. It is a game you can play, and it is a game you should play.
Can and should. Two yes. very important words mm-hmm. for this game.
Well, Todd, were you able to rate and rank this game?
No. Let me check my notes here. No, I did give this game a ranking on the DuckTail scale. The DuckTail scale has two primary factors. Primary factor number one is nostalgia. How much nostalgia do I personally have for this game? Mm. Primary factor number two is replayability. Would I replay this game in these coronial these virus times?
Coronal times.
Kind of time stamping this episode here, but would I replay it in these times?
Think about
you
this.
You know what?
Think about this.
Nostalgia. Nostalgia. Huge nostalgia. It's off the charts, this nostalgia here. What can I say, man? This is Mario. This is my peak game playing time, which is when I'm, early teens.
Right.
But a tweener to teen age, which is prime playing age for these games. It's a huge nostalgia for this one. Replayability. This is a replayable game. It is a game you can replay. That being said, I'll give Mario 64, Super Mario 64 on the Nintendo 64, a 0 point. It's no DuckTale. It's no DuckTale. Again, with 0.99 DuckTales.
Steve, please explain.
So Huel wrote 0.99, and then he wrote "fuck it," and then he put 1.
Oh boy, you should have stuck with it, man.
I couldn't remember if any game could be a
DuckTale. Here's the thing: DuckTales has a 0.01 replayability notch on this one. Which is that I feel like I would rather pop on any random point in time in my life. I would rather pop on a DuckTale than a Mario 64.
Wow, that is okay. All right. Fuck. All family friendly show is out the window. We're it's over.
Watch your profanity.
Right, I'm sorry.
Damn, I knew it. I thought like if there was ever gonna be a time, this was it. So like, I had to do it.
The only game eligible is like DuckTales 2. Which I don't think we ever got to.
Well, for a segment later, but we never covered that game. So.
That is a segment.
Oh, damn. Or DuckTales Game Boy.
Yeah, Steve just sent a screenshot of what I said.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. God. This is the day that we'll live in.
You know, let me say this. If DuckTales didn't exist, it would be the Super Mario 64
scale. The 64 scale? Okay. Well, I guess that makes me feel better.
That would be confusing, though, if it was the Mario 64 scale on a one, on a zero,
to, zero to one. Zero to one.
Yeah. I feel like you'd then have to do a 0 to 64 rating.
Look, that's an alternate timeline that we'll never be able to know.
I mean, we're in the darkest timeline. So
that is quite
right now, someone's doing it in the lightest timeline, I guess.
Well, DuckTales would not cease to exist in the lightest timeline. Let's get that straight.
Oh, that is true. Yeah. Ah, so much conflict right there.
A grayer timeline.
Yeah. I don't know. One other final thing that caught my eye from the Super Mario 64 wiki page is that this was also released on something called the IQ Player, which
what is that?
Apparently is like the N64 in China.
Wow.
So
yeah, that's a 64, all right.
Yeah, so apparently like more of the game's programming was on like a flash cart instead of like embedded in the hardware to try to curb piracy or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, that's the title line of this one that I'm reading here about it is it was created to curb the piracy going on.
Mm-hmm. But apparently this only sold between 8,000 and 12,000 units. So not huge support for this. And it looks like 14 games came out for it, which is pretty much all the big N64 games were ported over. Also, this came out in 2003, it looks like. So that's, I mean, that's pretty far after the heyday for the N64.
2003, so. You said? So that is around when the computer emulator scene was taking up steam on Nintendo 64 yeah. games. So that's probably what they were going for, is just trying to cash in on people trying to create PC version of these games.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, it's 7 years after they were initially released and 2 years after the GameCube came out that they debuted the system. So that's not great. So, but yeah, that was the final note that I had. So, Huel, was there anything else you wanted to add?
Probably a lot, but we'll just end on great music, of course.
Oh yeah, we didn't even talk about
barely, this. Barely scraped,
barely touched this game. This is, this is an all-time classic.
It's this. And as I went in deeply into on our Kart 64 episode, this game and Kart 64 are the songs I probably get stuck in my head the most.
Mm-hmm.
Not just video game songs, but like any song.
Wow.
I mean, you hear them over and over again at a crucial developmental point in your life. They're gonna get stuck in your head.
Yeah. Well, I sometimes forget that you're a little younger than I am. But for me, it's more Super Mario World, like those songs.
Mm.
But it's
Remember, I was not a SNESman.
I know. Yeah,
I played those later in my years.
Mm-hmm. So, fantastic music, and also this is the first game with a voiced Mario, I believe.
Correct. Yeah.
Very true.
Martinet.
Do you know
Martinet as he's called in?
Ruined my trivia question.
Oh, there's a trivia question now. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, voiced Mario. Yes, this is the first time it said, "Hi, it's a me, Mario, not Mario." What are you doing up there, Northeastern?
He says Mario,
United States.
It's a me, Mario. I can hear it now.
Mm. So oddly, though, working for Nintendo since 1990, he started voicing Mario at video game trade shows, in which attendees would walk up to a TV screen displaying a 3D Mario head that moved around the screen and talked. So,
that's odd.
Yeah. I don't know why they felt the need to do that.
Was he like the man behind the curtain? Was it like live? Or was it just like pre-recorded stuff?
Yeah,
it's probably pre-recorded.
No.
But
Martinet could see the attendees by means of a hidden camera setup.
Oh my god.
And a facial motion capture rig recorded his mouth movements in order to synchronize his mouth movement with the on-screen Mario mouth movement.
Wow. That's some Wizard of Oz shit.
I know, yeah.
Watch your profanity.
Right, I'm sorry.
Right, I'm sorry.
That seems very advanced for the time. 1990s, you said that? Because...
Yeah, 1990.
Very early on for that motion capture.
Mocap.
Mm.
The mocap, as they say on
the
streets.
If anyone's going to be ahead of the game, it's Nintendo.
Yeah, Nintendo's always dabbling in some weird stuff. So
they are known to make technologies.
Mm-hmm. He also voiced Parthenax in Skyrim.
Hmm.
Mm.
And
that is
some character.
Person. Dragon.
Sounds like a dragon.
It is... It is
hey, it's a me, Parthenax.
Oh, I fly around in the village.
That, you know what, guys? That is what he sounded like.
Fly around in the village. Oh, watch out for the fire.
Oh, boy. And yeah, he was also a Matlock, so good for him.
There you go. I mean, that's a career right there.
He was in a lot of other stuff too, but that's kind of funny. Hey. I misspoke. His first credited role as Mario is from 1992. Can you guys guess what it is?
Is it like one of those Mario is missing type games?
I'm looking at it on Wikipedia, so I will.
It sure is. It is Mario Teaches Typing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That crazy classic. And then he was in Police Quest Open Season, and he voiced a prostitute, Billy Bob, and a janitor.
They're not all the same person.
Wait. The prostitute, Billy Bob, is not the janitor. Those are three separate characters.
Three separate roles.
It's a janitor by day, prostitute by night.
Billy Bob Thornton by profession.
On screen.
Yeah.
We said what we have to say about old Mario.
Yeah. Bob, was there anything else you wanted to add?
No, we hit all my points. My last one was that squeezable, touchable face on the title screen, which blew my mind as a kid.
Well, on that note, let's move along to the voicemail part of the show.
Yes, we got two voicemails this week from listeners of the shows. And first voicemail is from a repeated caller.
Oh.
Not a new caller. And here is that voicemail.
Hello, WebBB boys. It's your old pal, Danny, a.k.a. The Prez. I heard that you were coming upon your last episode, and being a huge fan, I knew I had to call in and say hello, and say goodbye one last time. You filled my life with, quite frankly, joy and much bigginess. I thoroughly enjoyed every episode that I didn't listen to. And, I really, really am going to miss you guys. Excuse me, a little bit of the old corona there. I'm going to be fine, though, don't worry. Anyway, thanks, boys, for 5 years of enjoyment, and I'm going to hand it over to another friend of mine who just happened to be walking by. Hold on. Oh, hey, boys. It's your old pal, Jerry Garcia. What's going on? I'm back from the afterlife one more time because I heard that you were shuffling off this mortal coil as well. Pretty crazy. Anyway, keep on trucking. 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 Keep on trucking my BB. Hey, hey. All right. Hold on. There's another friend of mine from the afterlife who wants to say hi.
Hello, baby. Oh, baby, you know what I like, and it's YPB. Heard you're ending soon, just like I did when I went down in that plane crash and my body was torn asunder on the rocks. Oh, it's so horrible to hear that YPB will be, the same fate will be befalling you.
Oh,
anyway.
No.
Thanks for 5 years, my friends. I didn't listen to a word of it, but anyway, goodbye, baby.
Wow.
Whoa.
Ooh. Whoa. I did hear that they will refer to this as the day the podcast died.
Right?
Yes.
The three of us going down in a plane crash.
Oh, wow.
Torn asunder on the rocks.
Torn asunder on the rocks. I didn't know that's what happened.
Yeah.
Jeez. What a voicemail.
Yeah.
What a triumphant voicemail.
That crash shook out Big Bopper, Buddy Holly, and Richie Valens.
Hmm.
Wow. And the pilot.
You know. Oh,
I guess there's a pilot.
I mean, he dabbled in guitar.
The day the air pilot died.
It doesn't have quite the same ring to it. Wow, what a call. What a voicemail.
I didn't know Trump was friends with Jerry Garcia, but I mean, you learn something new every day.
He has a connection to the afterlife with Jerry Garcia and Big Bopper.
That just shows you how important he is. Wow. Okay.
I think Trump is our most frequent caller in the entire run of the show.
Yeah. Because, I mean, not only has he left voicemails, but he's also been hanging out with Backsack when he guests as well.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, big fan.
Most guest appearances, maybe more than Dale, more guest appearances.
It's possible. I don't think we kept track.
No.
No.
I mean, it would have been something that would have been good to keep track of. We did keep track of guest appearances.
Yeah, that was the thing.
Yeah, not enough voicemails and guest spots. Not cameos. Yes.
No. Yeah. Wow.
All right. Well, we got another voicemail from a new caller, and here is that one.
Oh, boy. It's me, Al Pacino. My good friend Bobby called in last week, and he's still a wreck. You guys must really have a great cast. I hope everything goes well for you boys after this. Ooh-ah!
Wow.
Oh.
Nice and short, but...
nice to call in.
I mean, is he Academy Award winner Al Pacino of Scarface fame?
Of the fame Scarface.
Scars the face.
The titular Scarface in that movie.
Oh, yeah. He won for Son of a Woman, I believe.
Oh, that's where that quote was from, right?
Mm. What quote?
About the great podcast that he listens to on that show, that movie.
Yeah, they invented podcasts for the movie, and he loves them because he's blind, so he listens to podcasts. Mm.
So he smells those podcasts.
Smells the podcast.
Yeah, takes in their scent.
He thinks we have a great cast.
Wow. Yet another celebrity.
Incredible. And
on the list.
Award-winning celebrity.
Oof. Oh, yeah.
Good to hear from Al. I hope Bobby gets well, too.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they recover. I mean, they were both. Al Pacino and Bobby D snubbed at the 2000, what is this year? 19 or 20s?
It's hard to say what year they're actually for.
Because it happens in the 20s, but it's for movies in the 19s.
Well, it didn't sound like Al really listened to the show. I think he was just more concerned.
Okay, about his pal Bobby D.
Yeah. He's there for him.
He didn't get both
snubbed and flubbed. They were not only snubbed, but they were flubbed.
Some would say it was a flub that they got snubbed. That's the flub. The snubbing was the flub.
Oh, the snubbing was the flub. Okay.
Yeah. They really flubbed it.
Wow.
Yeah. Basically.
Flubbed, not snubbed?
No, they were snubbed, which was a flub.
Oh, okay. All right.
The fact
it's kind of a snubbed. Kind of a goof and a gaffe.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
A real boner.
Growing pains?
Yeah. Oh. Great show.
Wow.
Chelsea.
Robin Thicke's father was on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weren't there two acting?
Ooh, and you know who else was on that show?
Yep.
Two Oscar winners.
Chauncey.
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 I have established a thriving town.
I was raised by a kind herd of wild cows.
I like that.
I like that.
Chauncey Supercut.
And also, I was thinking Family Ties is the one that had Tom Hanks.
Oh, with Mr. Gross.
Yeah, so Family Ties had an Oscar winner, and Growing Pains had an Oscar winner.
Which one was Michael J. Fox?
Growing Family Ties.
Family Ties.
That had Tom Hanks on it?
Yeah.
No. What?
Yeah. Steve said Tom Hanks was on that.
Oh, you guys
did he have a guest spot? He had a guest spot.
Yeah, remember the Family Ties when Uncle Ned was an alcoholic?
Was that the Bosom Buddies crossover?
Oh, right. He was the alcoholic uncle. Okay.
Yeah, it's Dave Damashek, one of his favorite episodes.
When of
the uncle apparently hits Alex and just goes, I hit Alex.
Oh, boy.
And he regrets it, right?
And he does. He does regret it.
I wish
he has remorse.
They learn an important lesson.
Alex was a little shit. Should have been hit more.
Whoa, boy. Whoa, hey. Wow. Whoa, hey.
Watch your profanity.
Right, I'm sorry.
This is a family-friendly show here.
He's always sassing the grown-ups.
Yeah. He is a pain in the family.
Similar to Gilbert Gottfried's stance on why he hates Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He hates Ferris Bueller.
Well, Ferris Bueller is a piece of crap, right?
Oh, yeah. He's a huge dick.
What? Just go to school. What is your deal, man?
If he was in your high school, you would hate him.
Oh, yeah.
He's
coming over. He's coming over to your house, and he's going through your parents' fine goods, such as a limited edition Ferrari or whatever that was.
Right.
How would you feel? He's a creep. What is his deal?
I don't even know what car it was.
Get off of my parents' expensive car.
Yeah. Well, that's Cameron's fault, really.
Yeah.
He's a real pushover.
He's a pushover, but still, I mean, Ferris sniffed that pushoverness out.
He's a manipulator.
And sook it.
He's a manipulator. I think it just all that matters is Ferris. He just gets what he wants.
Yeah. But it's a funny movie, though.
I side with Genie.
I think it's time to move to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you get any emails?
I did get an email, and this email the subject of the email is, "Can my boss tell who is online gaming at work?" And their email is, "Dear YPB, yeah, you know, my boss just called us into a meeting to say that someone has been using up a lot of bandwidth and that person will get in trouble. I just got the Legacy of Y Kesha expansion."
Kesha.
Y Kesha? Expansion pack.
Is there a dollar sign in there?
There's not. There's not.
Oh, okay.
Just got the Legacy of Y Kesha expansion pack for EverQuest, and I'm trying to get my paladin up to level 65, so I've been putting in some time at work. Can my boss tell that it's coming from my computer? And that's from Dave from Tampa, Florida.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, maybe. I mean, it depends how intricate your network is. I'm obviously an expert.
I mean, here's the thing. As long as you are using a secured connection via your VPN, you'll be okay. All you got to do is make sure that you minimize whenever boss man's walking around making his rounds.
Right. I mean, I don't know what your job entails specifically. I don't think you told us, but I'm sure there's some way you could make it like part of your job, like you're increasing your networking skills or.
Yeah, this is a resume authority, builder.
Yeah,
problem guild solving, leader. You're able to manage
your
people.
Leadership.
In your
guild. Yeah, you got some leadership capabilities. Like it's like a workshop. It's a problem solving workshop. I mean, there's a way you could spin it. I'm sure. Synergy. You're promoting synergy. You know.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
I feel like I couldn't play an online game like that if I also had to balance work. Like,
well, obviously they're not doing anything important.
I guess not, but I'd more be worried like if I have to alt tab when my boss walks by. An online game, you can't pause or anything. What if you're?
Well, here's what you'd be worried about, Steve, is when you alt tab that tab that you have behind your game is what you don't want them to see.
Hmm.
Oh,
NSFW browser tab open.
I may have done a search for good buff boys or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good boys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as it's good.
Yeah. But I thought you were going to say if I alt-tabbed, my clicker box wouldn't be active, so none of my clicks would be registering. which is, that would be my biggest concern. So, I don't know. Did we help him, do you think?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Yeah, just use some buzzwords. Yeah, throw some buzzwords around.
Use those VPNs. Use those connections. Use Tor. Tor is one of those clients that you use. And your boss man will have no idea.
Well, all right then. Did you have one mail, Todd, or more than
one? Just one mail, yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Got some time later for other things.
Yes, yes. Huel, did you get any mails this week?
I got an email, one final email, and it says, "Dear YPB, I am at peace. I have found my home. After coming back into this world, I knew there was one place I belonged, the public library. Here, I can help so many and give back to the place that gave so much to me. It is here that I plugged into their internet and found your latest episodes. I have now learned that you are ending, much like my former mortal body. Do not worry, as I have been reborn, and so you too will go on. Good luck, YPB boys. You always gave me something to look forward to. P.S. Oh. P.S. Who is your favorite Mario Kart racer?"
Hmm.
And that is from, of course, ScooterBot 4200.
A great original ask from old Scooty. Scooty.
Yeah.
By the way, it sounds like he's going through a real I have no mouth and I must scream situation as covered on our show.
A little bit. Maybe he listened to that episode and kind of understood. Because I think that came out while he was still dead.
Right.
So hopefully he's gone back.
Yeah. Circle back and give it a listen.
Yeah, I think he has.
Friend of the show, Mike Dini.
Take him. Great episode. Very good episode. Talked about Mario Kart, it's amazing. Yeah.
It's a great ask. Great ask. I'm surprised we've not heard it because my answer, which has been the same since I first played Mario Kart
on
Super Nintendo, has been Shy Guy, specifically the purple skin.
The purple Shy Guy. Wow. Yeah, a much later introduced character, but yeah.
Yeah, consistent answer since the series started.
Consistent answer. Steve?
I am going to go with... I'll go with Mario. I feel inspired by playing his game earlier today.
Great point.
And from now on,
I'm Mario's pandering to you, man. Don't listen to him. He's pandering to you, man.
I hope Mario could be good friends. Yeah,
I think he would be if he was real.
Oh, if he was real, come on.
I'm gonna have to say Wario. I feel like we have a lot of common.
Yeah.
And I think we would be friends if he was real.
Wow.
Thanks, Scooty.
Yeah, great email from Scooty, old Scooty.
This has just made me look up Mario Kart 64. Someone did a probability chart for the items, what you get based on what place you're in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, blue shell you can only get if you're in fourth place or worse.
Sorry.
Which makes sense.
That does make sense from my own playing experience.
Mm-hmm. I
wonder how many reps they did to figure that out.
It's weird.
Statistically accurate.
Some of these seem quite arbitrary, like the fake question mark box. Mm-hmm. You can only get in first or second place.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, that's weird, but it does make sense because if you're in last place, why you? Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're lapping you, you might drop it. But first,
I just feel like
that's where it makes sense.
It would have a lower percentage, but impossible seems strange. But I guess I've never really thought about it.
Yeah. So I will say this chart is just for Grand Prix mode. So maybe they tweak it in versus. Like that.
Yeah, I feel like
sense.
In versus it's a lot more random.
Yeah. But yeah. See, learn something new every show.
As the great poet Alanis Morissette says, "You live and you learn." About Mario Kart.
Yeah.
About Mario Kart.
Yeah. Well, I received one mail It reads, Dear YPB, did my ears deceive me? Is my beloved back in a new form? I've waited many years for this day, listening to YPB every week, hoping. And alas, last week was that week. As for me, it's been rough. Since losing my beloved, I went down a bad path, which was not great due to the path I was already on. I turned to drugs that I already had and have been living in a truck stop eating their fabulous butt dogs. One day, a nice couple walked in and gave me some money due to pity. They also made me wear a blonde wig, which was weird. I told them there was no point in going on anymore without my beloved. They took me in, got me to rehab, and helped me get on my feet. Most of you don't know how kind wanted murderers can be. And now this. My life can fully be lived now that my beloved is back. We can live on a farm, have many children, and invite all the ghosts and aliens over for poker. I can see it now. Please tell Scooty I'm here waiting for him, and I will miss you, boys. Love, Cooter Slut 69.
Oh, of course.
Cootie. Yeah.
Old Cootie writing in. Wow.
Long time friend of the show.
Yeah.
I do not quite follow what was going on with the wig. I think she lost me there, but...
you know, I feel like Cooter Slut 69 is probably a big fan of the murder porn. I don't know. So maybe that's a reference to a show. But
I'm just hoping, and it sounds like everything's okay now.
I mean, I only listen to podcasts about food and video games. I don't know.
This is the only podcast I listen to.
Oh, really?
So I'm going to have a lot of free time.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah.
Say your prayers, cancer. Fuel's coming for you now.
Oh, yeah. I'm ending that stuff. Hold on to.
Just going to begin.
I don't know what everyone else is waiting for.
Yeah. Well, I'd wait for you.
There you go.
Well, now, next on the agenda, Todd, I don't know if you have music for this, but it's called Retrospect.
Oh, Retrospect. Yeah, because this is the final planned episode. We might, you know, no promises.
Keep those feeds open.
Keep those feeds open. There might be something coming in the future.
Maybe if you click through a lot, it would encourage us to come back.
Possibly. I don't think that's going to happen.
What I'm looking for is community feedback. That's what would encourage me to come back.
Yes.
No promises, guarantees, or anything. A little segment. This is our getting back to what I was kicking this off with. This is our last planned episode. So I want to do a little retrospect on our show over the past 5 years, almost 5 years. Which is in podcasting world terms is a long time because shows do not last that long. We made it, guys. We are what, like 99 years old? Something like that?
Close. It's very close.
Yeah, close too.
I was gonna say before we get too deep into the retrospect, it's been an honor and a pleasure talking to you boys every week because it puts a smile on my face. Not only to talk to you boys, but because I also think I am the funniest person in the world, and I love listening back to my own jokes later.
Well, that's interesting, because I was going to say the same thing about me.
This is a great output for me to listen to my own jokes, so that's what I'm saying.
I've told you guys, but my favorite thing listening to these episodes is when I make a joke in my head that I'm about to make on the show.
Yes, I love that.
So much.
It's because, I mean, after 5 years, I forget everything that I've ever said, but whenever some topic comes up, I'm like, I'll make this joke right now. And I do make it.
I'm just talking about the ones that happened the week before. Like, it doesn't take long for me to forget everything we've
In contrast, I cannot listen back to the show. I've never listened to a full episode. No, I just find the sound of my own voice so jarring that I refuse to. So,
wow.
Yeah. It's weird that I then signed up to host, but... Yeah. Oh, boy.
I mean, to peek behind the curtain, this was your idea, Steve. Like, Steve is the godfather of YPB.
Yeah, he kicked it off, yeah.
Oh yeah,
you rounded us up to get it going. Yeah,
guys, like,
two of the hottest talents on the podcast scene.
And I need
to host a show, but I need two people that love hearing their own jokes, hearing their own voices.
That's what it's missing.
Listen, I was a different man back then. You know, when you're just a single dude, there's a lot of hours to fill up in the week, you know?
True.
Now, look at me.
Still a single dude, technically.
Yeah.
Yep. Still unmarried.
I have a dog that likes to listen to Genesis tunes.
Yeah.
Loves it.
Now look at me in this modern times, in this last planned episode, two kids, a wife, and compared to when we started the show, I had a wife and two kids.
You've really grown.
Yes.
The only thing that's grown is probably our Steam backlog queue. I know I've purchased another 40 games or so since then and played two.
Yeah, that is weird. I mean, you know, let's say where we're going after this, because I know that I have been recruited to go be a producer on My Uncle's Attic Podcast Network. I don't know what you guys have been moved on. If you found another gig yet?
Oh.
Oh, okay.
I am going to be on a podcast about other podcasts, and it's called How Did This Get Recorded?
Okay. Very original. So, very original, yes. Idea.
Yeah, I was kicking around an idea that I would review different chain restaurants.
Oh.
Like me and like one other guy probably.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
And can you complain about having to eat that food every episode?
I mean, if it's bad, probably.
Yeah.
It's okay. Bad. Four forks.
Yeah. Forks. Forks, you say. Oh, that's not a bad idea. Oh. Rating on forks.
Oh. Maybe some tines for partials.
Yeah.
So I prepared a little bit here. I wanted to, you know, we had a couple of voicemails today, but we've had many over the years, we've had many celebrities call in. So I wanted to pay honor to them, tribute. So I prepared a little audio segment for this.
Dead actor montage of the Oscars. Mm.
Well,
I wonder how many are alive.
We'll see. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. Here, I'm going to play it.
Okay.
I will remember you. Will you remember me? Don't let your life pass you by.
Me, Edley Thomas.
It's me, your number one fan, Teller, from the hit magic duo, Penn and Teller.
Standing on the earth. Oh yeah, YPP, it's the Macho Man.
This here is Dr. Maurice Godwin. You may remember me as being the forensics expert on a hit true crime podcast.
Yes, hello, YPP boys. It's your pal, Donny.
Famous movie actor and rapper, Shaquille O'Neal.
It is I, Vincent Price.
This is Gilly Bibbins. I am in the America's premier ZZ Top cover band. We're called AA Bottom.
This is William Gibbonshire, and I'm in England's premier ZZ Top cover band. Our band's name is ZZ Top of the Pops.
This Borat.
What, BB Boys, it's your old pal,
Donald J. Trump, otherwise known as the press.
See the movie from the fucking Peaky Blinders, mate.
Famous actor and former Roman general Russell Crowe. Also famous musician from my band, 30 Odd Foot of Grunts. It's your pal, Danny. Otherwise known as Brez.
Hi! Harry Carey here! This is former president and current retired party boy Bill Clinton.
It's WWE Hall of Famer Hulk Hogan.
This is veteran character actor Paul Giamatti.
This is Vin Diesel from the Fast and Furious franchise. This is Vin Diesel from the Chronicles of Riddick franchise.
Oh my.
Weep not for the memory.
Hello, your parents' basement. It's me, Michael Jackson. I'm still alive.
Oh, save the best for last.
The best.
So many I've forgotten about.
Oh.
Like Borat. Borat called.
I forgot about ZZ Top of the Pop.
AA Bottom. AA Bottom.
Oh, yeah, see if they're on Spotify.
I'm crying in tears of sadness and joy.
Oh, man. So many stars. I had forgotten so many stars.
So many celebrities.
Presidents. Multiple presidents have called
in. Didn't Obama call? Did he not
Obama
make it in
did
there?
Call in. I don't know how he didn't make it in that one.
That's weird.
Listen,
make sure to get Trump in there like four times.
Yeah. Well, you got to make sure the big names are in there, like Dr. Maurice Godwin.
Yeah, Dr. Maurice, Dr. Mo.
Dr. Mo.
Definitely needed to be in there. Obama, yeah, whatever.
What did he do for society?
Not as much as Dr. Mo or Hedley Thomas. Oh, boy. That was a joy.
Oh, that was magical. Oof. Well then, Next on here, the Mario 2 Award for Best Manual covered on the show.
Yeah,
ooh, is this an all timer?
This is an all timer covered on the show. So I've for the past few Hurleys or not Hurleys, well the Sweeties.
Sweeties.
The past
yeah.
few Sweeties, I would highlight the best manual of the year. But now, since this is the last planned and most likely last YPB, I feel I should honor the greatest manual that we've ever covered and that I have rated.
Can I take a guess?
No.
Okay.
And that award goes to Mario 2.
Boo! Oh!
Wow. The Mario 2 Award for Best Manual covered on the show.
Congratulations.
Is Mario 2.
Wow, this is an upset.
It's really unexpected, but I feel that it was deserved. What was your guess, Todd?
You know, I was going to say Link's Awakening, but you know, I can see how Mario 2 would actually take the prize.
Close second, Thrilla's Safari.
Oh, ooh. Wow.
No,
that is one of the that is under the radar.
I just love that name.
Mario 2. I mean, it's a solid manual. It's got a lot of nice drawings in there.
It won, I believe, 2 years ago or whenever it came out. Whenever we covered the year that we did it, it won the award.
Yeah, so more than a year ago, maybe 2018.
It was in the running, of course. But yes, it's solid the award manual, goes to Mario 2.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
I covered that game on Nostalgia recently. They play NES games in chronological order, and it came up, and I was like, hey, I know all about this game already.
Are you talking about Mario 2?
No, Thrilla.
Thrilla Safari.
Thrilla Safari, yeah.
I got all games. I was like, played. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. It's also weird to look back at our back catalog and the 12th game we played was like RC Pro-Am of all games. Mm.
Friend of the show, Pippin's on that one.
Yeah, we had some odd selections.
There's a lot. I mean, Dell mentioned it in our previous episode when he was reminiscing. There's a lot of games that I would say me personally, never would have played otherwise. And I'm glad that I did put the time in and get a little bit more cultured video game wise.
Yeah.
Some good, some not so good.
A lot not so good.
Like, some that should have never been played.
So many bad licensed games. But I don't know. I feel like we probably ended up with like half good, half bad on the show. So
it's probably like a third good.
Seems about right.
A third bad and a third just like completely average.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, you know, that's probably a better ratio than if we just picked games at random. Like
I totally agree, yeah, random. Because you skew much higher on the bad end if you do at random. Yeah.
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 But speaking of games.
Oh, sorry.
Speaking of games, are there games you regret we did not get to?
Hmm. I did have a few that I feel like would have been good episodes that we did not cover. So, you know, if there's any crowd support for this, send your emails in, rile us up, get us ready, get us out there to record one more time, and guest on that episode if you really want to talk about it too. One game that really came to mind first that we did not cover that I think would be a great episode, even though it's a horrible, horrid, bad game, is Pit Fighter for the arcade and home console. It is a
notorious bad game.
Mortal Kombat clone that is just hilariously bad. Like it's unplayable and weird, and I feel like we would have a lot of fun covering it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it has like digitized graphics, doesn't it? Like
yeah, it does, yeah.
You play as like one of three buff dudes. So
oh, good buff dudes.
Yeah, good buff dudes.
Okay. This came up, I think, a few weeks ago, and it jogged something in my brain that I forgot was there. Body Harvest for the N64.
I've heard the title. I've heard that it's a great game, but
I remember loving that game. And I pretty much forgot about it until we brought it up again. But that could have been great.
What is the gist of that one?
The gist is you are, I think, you are a time traveler, and aliens have gone back to different periods of time on Earth to wreak havoc. And you have to go back to those periods to fight them. Mm, and like you jump premise. In. Oh yeah, it's amazing. Like it's incredible how like under the radar this game is. Like for its insane premise, and it's very early GTA where you can hop into any vehicle and go fight the aliens and stuff.
This was a game developed by GTAs themselves, Rockstar.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's maybe a little ahead of its time. Maybe some things could have been done a little better, but I mean, overall, it's a great game.
Mm. Steve,
My pick. I'm actually surprised we never got to it, but maybe because it's a game for sportos. Mutant League Football.
Oh,
That was
weird.
Yeah.
We did not cover that.
That was kicked around a lot. And it just never got to it.
Yeah, I think the issue was we were always like, well, we'll get around to that one. Like,
basically.
It's like low-hanging fruit. And I also figured, we'll get a guest at some point that wants to do that game. It's a big cult classic. But no, we never got around to it. And speaking of, I have a short list here of games that guests wanted to do, but then we just never got to it. Which was Space Harrier, Pascal Spader. Mike Deeney wanted to do Turtles in Time, which that is an incredible game.
Right.
Fantastic.
That is a regret.
Mm-hmm. I have on here Siege wanted to do X-Wing. I don't know if he actually likes that game or if it's like a lemming situation again, but I think I think he did really like that game because I think he talked it up on the first soap he was on.
I think the issue is we had done TIE Fighter, and we were just like, do we really want to do another one?
Yes.
How much space planes you gonna fly around here? You know,
maybe do space planes again? Come on.
Well, I think there was also the issue that it came right on the heels of that or something like that. So, We're like, we got to space these out a little bit.
Basically.
And then Dale had a list of games, and we got the some, and we didn't get the others. So I think the most noticeable ones were Streets of Rage, Mega right. Man Legend, and Metroid Zero Mission. So,
okay.
Also,
Streets of Rage is a regret because that is a great. It is one of the top tier Genesis games, and we did not get to it.
Behind the scenes. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think the issue with Streets of Rage was always we played so many beat 'em ups.
So many. How many ups can you beat?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there was
just some ups.
I feel like at one point there was a string, like in 2 months we played like four or five.
That's when I broke. I was so angry.
Yeah. Yeah, and Huel was like, I can't play another one. And
can't do this.
I think we were like, we're with you. Like, and I'm just scanning the other list of games we didn't get to. Mm-hmm.
Well, a little behind the scenes for the listener is Hawk's wife actually wanted to do an episode on EverQuest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was like friends with some of the first developers or something. Mm-hmm. So those are some stories.
A recent happening that she wanted to come on.
No, it's been kicked around for probably 2 or 3 years.
Kicked around, but no action until recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the ball was in Hawk's court.
Right. I do have a small little short list of my also-rans, which are Tecmo's Deception, which is a game that every time I say it, you boys have no idea what I'm talking about.
What was
Tecmo's Deception?
Tecmo's Deception.
If you played it, it's on the PlayStation. Tecmo's Deception 2, which is a great game where you are a lady running around a castle placing traps for intruders trying to chase you, which is sounds weird, sounds bizarre, but it's an addicting little puzzler platformer kind of, you know, game.
I thought it was an NFL game about how they didn't tell players about CTE instead of technology.
Got it. All right. So the next one is just a game that is a great, solid game that Huel would hate, but I love it. And it's a game. It's a classic of all time. Chrono Trigger. Chrono's Trigger.
That's a game.
On the Super Nintendo. It is a game people love. And yeah. I think it's one of the greatest RPGs of its era. We just never did it.
I just replayed it this week because it's 25th anniversary there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good as ever.
Yeah, although I had forgotten that it is, it's a little tough in some areas and then super easy throughout most of the game though. Mm-hmm. So the tough parts seem even tougher.
Sure. Sure. All right. and
so
then,
still good though. Yes.
It's still good. Still good. I mean, it feels like a world you're walking through, not just a world you're walking on. All right, so another one is just more PC adventure games we never touch because that's kind of a genre we've hit a few times, never really dug deep into, like King's Quest series, Legend of Kyrandia, Full Throttle, and even more Monkey Islands. We never got to those. So those are great games that are good to play even in modern times. And then one more on the list, which should be on Steve's list that we never touched. For some reason, we never touched it. It's a little something called, it's a clone of Puyo Puyo called Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
God. Yeah.
That is one Steve mentions a lot.
It's really
never
fun.
Happened.
I'd say if there's a genre we didn't like almost nothing with, it's probably puzzle. Because, like,
there's
we did
so much you can say.
We didn't, I don't even think we covered Tetris, did we?
No.
So.
That's a good point.
Like,
what do you say about Tetris? Well,
we're trying to
blocks and, you know.
Oh, we're saving a lot of our puzzle games for like bulk episodes where we do like two or three puzzles
that's
at a
true.
Time.
We didn't do enough of those, probably.
Yeah, but it's just like, you know, what do you say about Tetris or Columns or like I don't know, Dr. Mario?
Hey, you got a little ball, you got a little block of thing, you drop it down right there. What do you do? Hey, what are you gonna do?
You're making the line go away.
I would love that if it had commentary by Mario from the from the Italian Tourism Board or
from
something
Charles
like
Martinet.
Yeah. That would make it a lot more enjoyable.
Probably.
But yeah, we you know, there are just certain games that didn't lend themselves well to the format. We also had a big problem with anything pre NES. Like we would get like, oh, could you do a Commodore game or do an Atari game? And it's like,
it's kind of out of our own personal wheelhouse.
Yeah, it's out of our wheelhouse.
It's hard to try to play these days.
Yeah, they're hard to play, and it's hard to talk like at length about, you know, combat for the Atari 2600.
I mean, I remember we did touch on we did have a episode on the original Wolfenstein, which is, I think that might have been as far back as we went. And that one, even that
we
one,
we did that
rough.
Atari episode with Smough.
Oh, I was not on that one. Yes.
Oh, correct. Weren't yes. you?
Yeah. But even that one, we had to combine two games, and
I
feel like we didn't talk much about the games because they were they were quite simple. I feel like Castle Wolfenstein may have been it's either that or like Oregon Trail. Like, those are both pretty old games.
But we mostly did Oregon Trail 2.
Yes.
It's more insane.
Which is a superior game, by the way.
It's awesome.
Well, just my quick list, I guess, of games I would like to cover. Dr. Robotnik, of course. Clash at Demon Head, which is a weird NES game. This was the late edition. Dragon Power, which is Dragon Ball in Japan, notorious for having a bad manual.
Oh, no.
A bad English manual?
Yes. And also, it does. Apparently, the original game has collectible candies, and it changes those to, like, turkey sandwiches or something else, something weird.
Americans love turkey.
And if there's a genre I wish we had gotten more into, it would be those awful full motion video games for like Sega's.
Like
we were gonna cover White Men Can't Jump, suggested by Dale, but we, you know, that was last week, and we just didn't have enough time.
You're not going anywhere without crossing sticks with me.
Oh my god. But there's a bunch of that stuff. Like, there's a Marky Mark in the Funky Bunch game. And
oh, my God.
Oh, I'm so sad we didn't do that one. Make My Video or whatever that's called.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we were. I feel like we almost did that.
I think we
changed it.
It came up a lot of times around the era of our Night Trap episode.
Yes.
Night Trap. That was the docket.
That was a good party.
Party?
Yeah.
Party!
there's also a game where you play as a football quarterback from a first-person perspective.
It's a full-motion video game, right?
Yes. It's for like the Sega CD, and it's notoriously not that good.
That sounds like really bad.
Yeah, and I was like, oh man, I bet this is steaming piece of crap. Let's play it. Joel, did you have any regrets?
Oh, besides 255 of them, no. Not really, no. I mean, most of the ones I brought up we covered like throughout the years.
Yeah,
sure. We were a Sega kid, so
yeah,
we were planning episodes. We're like, we need to get a Sega game in here. Who has played some of these horrible Sega games? Who can give a suggestion for one of these horrible Sega games? And he was always like, oh, I got a game I played when I was a kid, and it was the best game.
One of my favorites when I was a child.
Home Alone for the Genesis.
That was nice. How dare you?
I mean, I will say it's far, like, more often week to week we're like, what do you want to play? I don't know. What do you want to play? Like, when you do 200 plus games, it gets to be a struggle. Mm-hmm. So I will not miss that part. Playing a generic platform adventure game for an hour every week.
Some movie tie-in game. That I will not miss.
I mean, it was...
Well, it's always fun talking to you boys about the game.
Oh, of course.
But playing it is the bad part.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, after a while, it was even... If it was an awful game, that was more fun than, like, a mediocre game.
But then, like, during the week, I wouldn't want to play it.
Yeah. I don't know. I always felt like if it was an awful game, it was. I could play it for 10 minutes and get enough material to do a show versus like the mediocre games I would, for an hour, still be like, I have no thoughts about this game.
I have nothing to say.
Yeah. I have nothing to say about, I can't even remember like one of the supremely fine games we did.
Beyond
a very okay game.
Well, we should move along here too. Favorite bit slash skit from the show.
Well, probably that.
I mean, as we mentioned,
that's my favorite bit.
Awkward.
Silence. Oh yeah, my favorite recurring bit is the awkward pauses and the ums and ahs. All time classic.
A complete no sell of Steve jokes. I was always a fan of that one.
my favorite part too.
I think my all time favorite is something we did very early on. A lot, but probably not in the last 2 or 3 years, was the famous bit skit.
Oh, the bit skit.
The Mad Libs of manual, I think, like stories or manual, like summaries and stuff.
Mm-hmm. The intro stories.
Yeah. I mean, that was just fantastic. Yeah.
I don't know. That fell off at some point. Nothing against that itself. I just felt like trying new stuff.
Yeah. No, I know you. I mean, Todd is the bit skit innovator of the show, for sure. But that's always been a favorite.
My favorite, my personal favorite, has been the Vidigame Theaters.
Yes.
And just because it's an interaction between all of us. And I'm trying to pull up... not a clip, just pulling up the titles of some of them that we've done. We've had 12 of them.
The one that comes to mind that I think of probably every other day is Michael Mann's Ice from the Ice Climbers episode. Like I've just like re-downloaded that episode just to listen to it like multiple times.
Yes, please.
That's the one that broke me like in the middle of the
Please I, go I, listen the to egg, the Ice Climbers
like,
episode. The
eggplant line just like it just killed me. It's so good. Yeah, so the Ice Climbers episode, whenever that was.
Yes, all time. The greatest. And I always think about the first one, the Bubble Bobble.
Oh,
what is this called? It's just called Bubble Bobble, is what it's called. But you know, it's two hardened detectives talking to each other.
Okay. There's a lot of those hardened detectives. Yeah. A lot of scripts got lost. Yeah. But man, Michael, that's nice.
Oh. I mean, I always like the voicemails and also just the drops, because both of those
drops are good.
I would not normally hear ahead of time. So, like, even
how could we? Yeah.
Well, all the emails and voicemails we hear for the first time on the show,
they're all new. Yeah.
I mean, we mentioned it many times. Huel goes to great lengths to write out the scripts to these episodes that we're recording. Even this line I'm reading right now, he says written by Huel, and I will say exactly, this is written by Huel. But the
it's probably unnecessary that I have to write written by Huel after every line.
But. Voicemails and emails are heard on the spot, and we talk about it on the spot. Those are the ad lib portion of the show.
What do you have a list of the Vidigame Theaters that you were going to read?
I do, and I just pulled up a random one, and it made me laugh just reading the title. Vidigame Theater 5, Multicultural Beauty. Featuring friend of the show, Amanda.
What game? Oh, is this Civilization?
It's Queen of Civilization.
Multicultural.
Wow, yeah.
Oh, is
not
that
American
like
Beauty, it's American, Multicultural Beauty.
More than one culture.
She was putting in accent work, like a regular...
She did,
She
worked that accent.
Yeah, it's like a regular...
Multicultural.
Amelia Clark or something. Whew.
Oh man, great times. Oof. And I mean, I gotta give what a about... special. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. I'm just going through more. An F-Zero car named Desire.
Oh, these strips never see the light of day. It's shocking.
Oh, I know,
Smokey and the Ninja.
Sometimes it's hard to, you know, get clearance, get those IP, that hot IP.
It's true. Video game movies are all the rage.
Yeah. I would also like...
I mean, I got to give a...
I also liked when my verbal flubs would be turned into bits, like Sega's the Genesis. Yes. I forget what the initial one was.
It was Nintendo's the Switch.
Okay.
No, Sony the PlayStation. Yeah.
Was it? I thought Nintendo's Switch was... I thought that the genesis of that of that phrase.
Okay.
But then we expanded it to Sony's the third PlayStation and etc.
Oh, yeah.
Nintendo's Switch.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have to give a special shout out to our decision to choose the fate of our destiny.
Oh.
Our most complicated and confusing bit that I just delight in. I mean, the first time we went through it, just this the pure confusion was magical.
Yeah. I always liked when Todd forgot which side of the coin which
yeah,
side.
It was which.
Well, one is heads and one is tails, of course.
Exactly. That's all you have to know.
I know, but you repainted the coin each time, or you used
effort into the show.
One side has Bimmy and one side has Jimmy, and now we will flip it, and we didn't know what that meant.
That was a
definite favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Two more I had listed here from old time bits.
Yes.
One I enjoyed it early on is we kind of maybe ran out of material, but Tales from the Arcade. I enjoyed those from Huel.
Yeah, I mostly just ran out of stories. That were like available for air.
So go back and listen to the first, I don't know, 50, 75 episodes for those.
Yeah, they were very early, yeah.
That dirty ice cream.
Disgusting, disgusting place, yeah.
Another favorite of mine, which just took a lot, so I got two more favorites that just take a lot of effort to prepare. And I love laughing at my own material.
Mm.
So that's what I'm going to preface this with. But Touching Joysticks with Todd.
Oh, right.
I had the celebrity interviews with Tom Cruise.
That's true.
What's
Sandy
her name?
Sandy B, Sandra Bullock.
I do remember those interviews. Mm-hmm. It's incredible that they came on.
They made time for us.
They did.
Another one is, what are we even talking about, dude?
Dude, what are we even talking about, dude?
Yeah.
And that's where you would pull clips of us discussing a game, and we had to guess what game
it is. Yeah,
yeah.
I did that one about three, four times.
Yeah.
I feel like we almost never got it.
No, I think we figured it out.
I think about 50%. Yeah, 50-75% high end.
Mm-hmm. 50% of the three times we did it. Yes. Absolutely. Great bits, great skits.
Todd, did you have two more old bits you wanted to?
No, those were the two other ones.
That was it.
Okay. Oh, wow. Well, let's move along to a fan favorite segment that we will be doing for the last time here.
A groundbreaking segment.
Yes. Todd, does anyone need our help?
Somebody needs our help this week, so let us ask the Sweet Boys. All right, we're trying to clear out the queue here of all these asks we've got over the years that have been stacking up. I found two important ones. I'll go with, we have two this week. They're most pressing.
Mm-hmm.
And first one's kind of a shorter one, so we'll hit it first. And their ask is, if I am burglarizing somebody's home and find very incriminating things in that person's home, would I go to jail if I report it to the police?
Isn't that covered under the Fifth Amendment? I don't remember. How does that go again? I think you can refuse
like stealeth
to testify. Yeah. No, that's commandment.
Oh, okay.
Stealeth.
Covet
thou shalt not covet evidence of thy stolen neighbor. I think that's like the 11th or 12th one.
If thou finds child pornography in midst of thine heist, or how do they say?
I mean, that's what they found, right? Like, they wouldn't care about anything else. You know?
I mean,
what else would they have found?
They found a dead body.
What if I found a severed head?
Yeah.
I mean, I was just trying to come and steal this VCR here, but, you know, found this thing here.
VCR?
Found a hand.
took a time machine back to 95.
I would just write an anonymous note to the police to say, you might want to check this guy out. Wink. And
winky
right
face.
Wink, right wink, and also draw a winky face.
Oh, and draw a winky. Oh, okay.
That really emphasizes.
And a smiley with sunglasses, too, for sure, just to stamp it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Maybe an eggplant.
Well, I mean, the issue is you can just call the police and not say who you are. But if you just make an anonymous complaint like that, it doesn't hold much evidentiary value. Like, they have to have more evidence than that to get a warrant, for example. So, you know.
But here's my advice. Find that owner of that domicile you're in and get in on that deal, man. Get in on that.
Oh, cut a deal.
Cut it. Get a percent.
Good point. Yeah. Great point.
Yeah. Be like, if you don't give me what I want, I'm going straight to the cops.
Right. You can get a lot of leverage there. A lot of leverage.
Yeah,
I think we help that person.
Yeah.
I think we get a few options, you know. Okay. Right, we got another ask. And this next one is from Anonymous. And the subject of their ask is WTF. H is up with a Big Mac meal being over $10. So
it's important.
John Gabers.
So they want over $6 for a Big Mac by itself, $10 for the combo. Why? I could go to a premium restaurant and get a quote top end quote notch meal for $17. I could get a quote premium end quote burger and fries anywhere for $13. Why are fast food chains charging so much for the delicious, non-qualitable items? BTW, I still like the value menu. I can get a decent 300-calorie burger for less than $2, but a 600-calorie burger, $7? WTH.
Hang on. He can get 300 for $2 and 600 for $7.
That is what I'm seeing here, yes.
That's only one extra dollar.
I mean, you want that 600 calories or what?
Oh, wait, no. I'm sorry. It's three extra dollars. I forgot how that worked. Okay. I that seems high. I don't know where you live,
sir or
madam. I don't think it's that much.
He lives at the airport.
Right.
$10 for a Big Mac combo.
Are you coronal victim Tom Hanks in the terminal?
Are you supersizing your value meal at the airport?
Great ask. In LaGuardia. Are you living there? Because I don't think that's right.
Yeah,
here's what I'll say. Do. Oh, sorry.
Okay. Go ahead.
I would buy two of the $2 burgers and slap them together and pretend it's a Big Mac.
Oh.
Then you're saving $3.
And hey, check this out. Ask them to put a little dab of that secret sauce on each one.
Yeah.
Plus,
give me a squirt.
Give me a little squirt on that.
That's the secret. That's like the secret menu of McDonald's. If you tell them, give me a squirt, they'll give you some of that secret sauce.
You slap those two bad boys together. You got yourself an extra bun. That is extra calories on top of the bacon.
Yeah, you got one extra bun half because you can use the bottom bun as the middle bun of one of the other ones. And then you got an extra bun. Maybe use it as a napkin or something.
So this question really comes down to a math problem, right?
Yeah.
Min-maxing. Hey, this is what Steve is all about in his game. Min-max.
It's true.
Min-max that value meal.
How can we get our idle clicking skills to use in getting the best Big Mac substitute?
I mean, at this point, I would not ever consider getting a Big Mac. Like,
I'm sorry. Sir, you need to tighten your cummerbund and put your monocle back on, sir.
I'm going McDouble or Double G's if I'm going to McDonald's. Like, I'm not. The Big Mac is just like, it's French dressing. Like, that's what you're getting on.
Signature.
Thousand Island.
Like, same. Signature item.
Full disclosure. I'm unzipping my pants and dropping them all the way down to my ankles here. Anytime I go to McDonald's, I get that Big Mac. It is just a guaranteed.
Thing is,
I go to McDonald's maybe once, twice a year.
Oh, okay.
That is the difference. I got it. Whenever I go, it's I got a craving for that Big Mac.
You know, this discussion makes me think my new podcast idea has some legs.
You should do a bracket with all of these foods.
Oh, I got to wait at least 5 years to do that.
Oh, boy. Well, I think we helped that person.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. Next up is... that's it.
Whoa.
Could not have thought
master of segue
better way to end.
I was like, is there one more thing on here? And I mean, there is. There's a Snafu, but we don't need to go there just yet. Exactly. Almost. Huel, was there anything else you wanted to add before we wrapped up?
I mean, Todd said it already, but it's been a pleasure, my sweet boys. It's been fantastic listening back every week. It's been fantastic laughing and crying and playing some really bad games and some really good games and everything in between. So this was fantastic. Thank you both. Thank you to all the guests. Thank you to all the writers. And it's been awesome.
I would say it's not goodbye to each other because we're going to talk to each other all the time. Yeah, but it's goodbye to the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
You'll never hear me
again. See ya.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Oh. Yeah. That classic Rob Schneider skit. Bye-bye.
David Spade.
The David Spade one, yeah.
And they were probably together. That's probably
who can tell? Todd, anything else you wanted to say before we signed off?
We have to do something special. Listen, everybody. Let's bake a delicious cake for Mario.
Oh, good point.
Oh, boy. Well, on that note, I don't know what's going to play next. So here's a snifferoo.
Game Boy. Bye.
In classic fashion, hit the wrong button.
Incredible. Oh, man. It's fine. It worked. Yeah.